Hey, Mike. Hi, Paul. You know, it was quite the weekend, wasn't it? You know, I love how closely the estimates were to the finals for... Wait, I'm wrong. The estimates were way off, and thankfully so, because what was a stellar performance, second weekend performance for Mario, turned into an outrageous performance.
Well, here's the thing. So on Saturday morning, and in all fairness, I was in Paso Robles this weekend wine tasting.
Nice.
So my Saturday calculations might not have been as good as they normally are. But anyway, I looked at it, and I'm looking at the hourlies and everything. I'm like, 80, which is what they had went out with. I'm like, that seems a little low to me.
Right.
I think this movie has a shot to do significantly more than that. And then, you know, as you're watching the numbers through the day, you're like, oh yeah, this movie's definitely going to, because the target was Frozen 2, which went out and did $85.7 million in its second weekend back in November of 19.
That's right.
And what I did not read in any of the articles, but what was absolute fact, is that second weekend happened to be Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, that's right.
So it was artificially juiced, those numbers. So when Mario comes out and does 34 million?
347, yeah.
So when they come out and do 92.3, that's on just a regular weekend. There's no holiday. And that goes back to what we were talking about last week. And that is, there's a lot of runway for this movie. People love the movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are repeaters that are coming to see this. You know, it's sitting there at what? Where are they at right now?
353.2 domestic. And it's pushing in on 700 million worldwide. And Mike, let me rewind real quick for those who feel like they came in the middle of a conversation that Mike and I were having. So, just to set the stage, the Super Mario movie on the Sunday estimates, which is what we, you know, at ComScore, we put those out every Sunday morning. The estimate was 87 million, which was a 41% drop, an unbelievably great second weekend. But when the final numbers came in, over like close to 5.5 million higher, right, Mike? The estimate's usually pretty good.
Yeah, if anything, you will find usually that the estimates come in a little higher, and then Monday it dials back by a few bucks because, you know, you sometimes are trying to will it a little higher than maybe it will go.
Right.
In this case, it's the complete opposite, where this movie just completely surprised. And the minus 37% week over week. And again, I want to kind of go back to what I was just saying. That's minus 37% off a holiday weekend. Remember, we had Good Friday, which basically juiced the gross because kids were out of school, people had more time, the matinees were better than they would be on a normal Friday. So this number is really spectacular.
And Mike, I looked, in again, the ComScore engine room. And so the Super Mario movie in its opening weekend domestically earned $146.362 million. And that's the highest grossing opening weekend of the year. The second highest grossing opening of the year was Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania back in mid-February of this year, with 106.1. This second weekend performance of Super Mario Brothers movie would be the third biggest opening weekend of the year. If it was its opening weekend at 92 million, that would be the third biggest opening weekend of the year. Here it is, this second weekend, and rarely, Mike, do we ever see movies that open with over 100 million drop. Usually it's a 60% drop on movies like that, and they can still be successful. But to me, Mike, there's no better metric of audience love and affection for a movie than a very nominal, very minuscule, I could say, second weekend drop. And to be in the 37 range. And by the way, John Wick had a very modest drop, but it's in its later weekends. And obviously, Air had a modest drop. We had a lot of movies opening. There are about, I think, 5 wide release films. But you go from the top movie at 92 million, and then the second highest grossing movie, which I think, for considering the marketplace, how crowded and all that, the fact that the Pope's Exorcist earned $9 million, still a solid result for that. I don't know that anyone was expecting a blockbuster debut on that, but again, so top-heavy with Mario just absolutely dominating. And then you had Renfield, which opened in the fourth position at $8 million. Suzume, which is a highly popular anime film that heading into the weekend was already at $250 million worldwide, Mike. And then Mafia Mama, which had a great trailer, came in at only $2 million. Hopefully that'll find an audience over time, but just a crowded weekend. Oh, And Mike, and I'll let you riff on this one a little bit too. Bo is Afraid, the A24 movie from acclaimed director Ari Aster with a great cast, including Joaquin Phoenix. That movie had an $80,000 per theater average in four theaters. Can you tell the audience what that means for a movie to be in four theaters and earn $80,000 per theater?
As we've discussed before, when you're trying to launch a specialized movie, so to speak, or more of an upscale movie, you'll do one of these kind of platform releases where you'll pick four key theaters, you'll go out. I know they did a Q&A or two over the weekend that helped on the grosses, but it's a phenomenal start. So basically what you're trying to do is get the word of mouth generated, get those great reviews, and they're going wide this weekend. Now, I haven't seen what wide is, so I don't know exactly how many runs they're looking at, but obviously there is a great one to see for this movie, and A24 probably does this better than anybody out there these days.
They have cracked the code on that, and I've heard, when you hear the superlatives, this is a movie I think has to be seen to be believed. We haven't done this before, Mike. I'm going to read the rating description for this movie, okay? So this will be a new feature on the show whenever it's relevant. So the genre is called, it's an adventure comedy starring Nathan Lane, Joaquin Phoenix, Parker Posey, Patti LuPone, Amy Ryan, just a great cast. But let me just break down the rating. R for strong violent content, and it keeps going, sexual content, graphic nudity, I'll keep going, drug use, and language. It's like the multifecta. All the various things that make movie an R or cause the movie to have an R rating. I guess it's just the movie is really out there and a big piece of filming, like a big hunk of filmmaking. Like, that's what I'm hearing. Haven't seen it. I almost don't even want to watch a trailer on it, Mike. I want to go in and be surprised by this one.
When you look at the four theaters it played in Lincoln Square, Burbank, Alamo, Brooklyn, and Century City, and the gross was evenly distributed. So
yeah.
What it shows you is this is a movie that has a real chance to kind of break through to that upscale audience. And again, as we've talked about, A24, as you said, Paul, they've cracked the code. They probably do this as well as anybody out there right now.
Yeah.
And it'll be real interesting to see how this performs, because from an adult standpoint, again, movies like The Menu, Everything Everywhere All at Once, as we've discussed, the specialized movies have had a much tougher time breaking through post-pandemic. I mean, I would venture to say, I was talking to somebody over the weekend, that we're in a normal cycle now. At least on the mainstream
right.
movies. I mean, you're looking at a gross this weekend that was pushing $150 million, which for a non-holiday weekend in April, fantastic.
Well, Mike, you perfectly segued into a comment I gave to the great Pam McClintock at The Hollywood Reporter, where I said, quote, and I love quoting myself, Mike, it's a sign of back to normal for the movie industry when you have a film on the indie side of the ledger, such as Bo is Afraid, generating as much heat and headline interest as a blockbuster like the Super Mario movie. So we think alike, Mike. You're exactly, this says normal.
It really, really does. And when you start looking at the issue that we had previously as early as October of this year, when we were talking about, wow, there's no content. We need more content. That's not an issue. We had five films opening last week.
Mike, if you can't find something in this marketplace, then you just don't like movies.
We're at a point where it's even bigger. You know, it's ridiculous the amount of content that's out there. So I was going to say, so you had five new openings last week. You have five new openings this week. You've got five new openings the week after. So you're talking about in the span of 3 weeks, you've got 15 movies entering the marketplace. So where we've talked about before with the problem of not enough content, in some ways, maybe we have too much content that's coming in right now.
Oh, there's too much. It's true. You know, Mike, too, one other movie that I want to talk about that had a really strong per theater average was the National Geographic film called Wildlife, which is really a wildlife documentary in essence. Now, that was only in two locations, but $47,613 for the weekend. That's $23,807 per location. That's likely screens, though, right? That's probably two theaters playing it. I don't know if it's two screens in one theater.
It would have been two theaters on that one.
And Mike, talk about this, because, you know, being at Lionsgate all those years, I don't know that everybody understands, and I don't mean to talk down to our audience, but I don't know who's listening. And I know we throw out all these terms like per theater average or per location average. So there's screens, and within a theater, there could be multiple screens. But as we report the numbers of Comscore, when there's two on the board, that means two theaters. It could mean two screens. But in this case, with this movie, having, let's say with I Was Afraid, you had 81,000 per screen. What does that mean when you walk into a theater on a weekend and there's a movie that has 80,000 per screen or 80,000 per theater or 20,000 per theater?
Per theater, or even when they say per screen average, it's really per location average. So you may have,
right,
you know, 1, 2, 3 screens within a complex that are actually playing the movie. That will count as one gross for that theater.
Right.
And then, like I mentioned on Bo is Afraid, and I think they did it on Wildlife as well, they could do filmmaker Q&As. So if they advertise Joaquin Phoenix is here on Friday night, such and such, it may do something to help, you know, increase your gross a little bit. But it's all part of the game, and it's legit. It's,
yeah,
everybody does it. But when you see a number like an 80,000 per screen, or you see a 26,000 per screen, those are significant numbers. I mean, if we'll talk about, you know, well, let's just take a look. You know, what did Mario have for the weekend? Mario.
Oh, my God, Mike, you set this up perfectly, because I was just going to get to the fact that when you have a movie that's in a lot of theaters, like 3,000 or 4,000 theaters, getting those massive per theater averages is even tougher, because that's many more locations. But check this out. Second weekend for Mario in 4,371 theaters or locations, a per theater average of 21,127. That is a monumental per theater gross for a movie that's in over 4,000 theaters. And think about the ticket pricing. A lot of those are kids' tickets.
That's the other thing. And, you know, if you're a theater owner, you know, and you've $21,000 per screen, you know, and you're charging 10 bucks a head, that is, what, 2,000? You know, you got 2,000 people coming through buying popcorn and candy. It's a good day at the concession stand, especially with a lot of those kids.
No, it's true. And what kids go to the movie theater and don't get candy, popcorn, or soda? None of them. They all have to get that.
It's part of the ecosystem that is, you know, the movie theaters. And part of the reason why exhibition had so many issues when things were shut down. Because remember, you know, if you go to the economics of how it works in the movie business, the movie ticket itself, you know, is split between the studio and the theater owner. You know, how it's split is up to, you know, whatever deals they happen to have.
Right.
But then, you know, everything that's at the concession stand is kept by the theater owners. So when they're shut down or when there's a lack of product, that really has a significant impact on the bottom line.
You know, we didn't talk about that enough last year, Mike, and you're really right, though, because if you think about the concession footprint for a movie like Mario, is incredible. Think of that, all that great revenue.
A lot of red vines, Paul.
A lot of red vines, my friend, a lot of popping corn. And then, like I said, when I went to see Dungeons & Dragons, Mario was also playing, and they were selling a lot of alcohol to a lot of beleaguered parents who were like, what a day this is going to be. And yeah, just great. And we're going to wrap up fairly quickly, but I want to point out something too, is that maybe the video game genre is now going to, I'm not going to say supplant the superhero genre, but this could be a game changer, this performance on Mario, in a lot of different ways, because they did a really good job with it. Nintendo had a lot to do with the point of view of the movie, and so did Illumination. But I know there were changes that were going to be made, and I won't get into that. But Nintendo said, no, we have to stick with the brand. You know, we have to stay on brand, as they say. And that worked out perfectly. But clearly, there's a market for this. That doesn't mean it's easy, Mike, right? You can't just, oh, well, Mario did it. Now every studio can do it.
Well, hold on. I think you're onto something here, Paul. And, you know, for years it's been, you can't make a video game into a movie, that it doesn't work. And the evidence backed it up. The landscape was littered with films that were based on video games that didn't go anywhere. However, post-pandemic, I guess really right before the pandemic, you can start with the Sonic franchise, which came out and was a home run. And then post-pandemic, we had Uncharted, which was based on a video game, which came out and hit a home run. Obviously, we then had the Sonic sequel, which came out and exceeded the first one. And then, now it's not based on a video game, but it's the same type of idea where you had Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
And, you know, that's at $75 million right now.
This kind of IP is killing it, Mike. It's kind of ironic that mortal enemy of Nintendo, Sega, actually with Sonic, opened the door in a way for Mario.
It seems what they're, and this is just, you know, kind of an impartial observer, it seems what these companies are doing are they're taking the IP, and instead of being, you know, down the middle letter of the law of what the IP is, they are crafting a story that you don't have to necessarily be a fanboy of the video game or of D&D.
Right.
They're creating a story that lives on its own with the Easter eggs that are in there that if you are a fan,
right,
you find them and, you know, you're so happy to see those. But for the non-fans, you know, it's great entertainment. And, you know, maybe you could probably look at the reboot of Jumanji too. And while that's not based on a real video game,
yeah,
you know, the whole concept was to create a world where if these characters lived, you know, how would that play out? It's worked.
Yeah.
It's worked in a big way and it continues to work. And I think, you know, that kind of breathes some life into the video game IP as it moves forward.
It's a total game changer. And look, in Hollywood, nothing exceeds like excess or nothing. Yeah, nothing will inspire, I think, more of these types of movies than a $1 billion plus performance by Mario. It really does open the door.
I do want to touch on one other thing before we wrap up here. Well, there's actually a couple things I want to get into. But before we go down that road, there was something you and I were going over on the weekend. And that was we came into the weekend at about $2.2 billion before anything.
Yep.
And that was versus about 1.63 the year before. So how do we look right now after this weekend, Paul?
I'm glad you brought this up, Mike. And you didn't tell me before we got on here to look at the numbers. So
I would never do that.
This is totally organic. I'm truly kidding. So this weekend, we at ComScore tracked 65 films for a total of $148.2 million. So added to the year-to-date through last Thursday, through yesterday, through as of this recording, through April, Sunday, April 16, the year-to-date domestic North America, U.S. and Canada is at $2.349 billion versus $1.7 billion at this same point last year. And we are up nearly 40% at 37.8%, 23 over 22.
That's wild when you think about that.
It is. And by the way, last year we were at $1.7 billion at this point. We hit $2 billion this year, I don't know, a week and a half or more ago. So we're in definitely a different trajectory, much a greater pace. And like we talked about on and on and on last year, but very relevant was it's because we didn't have that many movies last year and there just wasn't the movement.
And as we mentioned, that doesn't seem to be a problem right now. But
no.
The other thing, too, that we will all be very excited about, and here's the big number. The big number is can we get to $10 billion this year? I still think we can. And I know you don't, but I think we can.
I think. Okay, Mike, you speak too soon, my friend. I've been getting some updates internally from a magician on our team and who's very good at this. And that number is getting closer. I don't want to spill the beans here. Closer and closer to $10 billion, Mike.
That is to my next segue, and that is next week is a huge, you know, moment in the industry. And for everyone who's part of it, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you guys who listen that, you know, may not be day-to-day in the industry, CinemaCon 2023 descends on Caesar's Palace and in Las Vegas.
And we will descend Ticket to Ride on Caesar's Palace. Because what are we doing from there, Mike? Are we going to do our next episode from Las Vegas?
We are doing a recording. Paul and I are going to be in one room for the first time. There's a big party going on Tuesday night. We're going to record the podcast. We're going to have a couple of special...
By the pool.
And we're going to have a couple of special guests by poolside as we do that. Maybe have a cocktail or two. We'll see how that goes. The thing I'm most looking forward to, and what this convention is, so for those of you who are not necessarily day-to-day in this industry, when you think of a convention, you always think of a giant trade show and, you know, everybody's selling their wares. This is a little different. This is a trade show where the studios come in and basically throw events for all the exhibitors. And the events are basically presentations on what their upcoming slate for the rest of 23 and into 24 and sometimes even into 25 might look like. This is where we got the first glimpse of Top Gun Maverick a couple of years ago. We got to see some advanced footage of Mission Impossible. Elvis was...
That was last
that
year,
was Mike. That was last year. Elvis was debut. I remember going back years ago when it was called Show West, one of the most iconic scenes that was shown of Fox showed a teaser for this movie called Independence Day, where that showed the White House being blown up. And everybody
that
left the room going, this movie is going to work. So CinemaCon is, you know, it's not public facing. It's not something like Comic-Con where there's Hall H and you might have a panel. This is more of a B2B kind of business presentation. But there is press there, and there is a lot that leaks out from there. And there is a lot as the studio set the stage for what's coming on. So I can't wait to go through next week and see what's going to happen.
Perfect tee up. And I think this could not be, perhaps I would argue that this could be the most optimistic feeling that the industry has had after what the industry has gone through over the past 3 years in any CinemaCon or Show West. I mean, this is so monumental with coming off of a great first quarter and now Mario and leading into a summer that looks to be just spectacular. So I don't think there have to be any asterisks around this particular year at CinemaCon. And Mike and I have been going to this, well, for decades, really, Show West and now CinemaCon. I can't wait. I can't wait to see you there, Mike. We're going to record this baby in person. No car cast. It'll be a Caesar's cast.
We're going to be on location.
On location from Caesar's Palace.
That's right.
Well, I can't wait, Mike. I'll see you there. And that's Ticket to Ride for this week, heading into CinemaCon. It's all about Super Mario, but not just about Super Mario. Bo is afraid.
Bo is definitely afraid. But the people at
A24
is not going to be afraid of the checks they'll be cashing.
There you go. Very well said. We'll leave it there. So I'm Paul DeGarabedian, Senior Media Analyst for ComScore, and Mike Polydor is President of Paper Airplane Media. Thank you, Mike, as always, and I'll see you, I usually say at the movies, but I will see you in Las Vegas.
You will, and now I get to turn my attention to what everybody else, if you're not going to the movies, make sure you're watching the NHL playoffs that start this week. I can only say this, go Kings, go.
I like it. Mike's the biggest hockey fan. He loves it, and I love that he loves it, because I know nothing about it.
All right, Paul, we'll see you next week.
All right, Mike. I'll see you in Vegas.